What's going on, Pizza King podcast listeners? Today's episode is brought to you by Bag Genie, my newest go-to solution for pizza delivery. Imagine delivering hot, fresh pizza every single time. That's what you get when you get a bag from Bag Genie. This is pizza bags made by pizza guys. They understand all of the things that we need when it comes to delivering hot, fresh pizza every single time. Look, I've been doing this for 22 years. I have not seen a bag with so much thought put into it, with so much attention to detail and quality in all of the years. It's by far the best bag I've ever delivered with. But here's the best part. Bag Genie is offering an exclusive deal just for our listeners. Go to their website, baggenie.net. And when you spend $200 or more using code Pizza King at checkout, they're going to throw in a free bag. That's right, free. So don't miss out on this opportunity. Elevate that delivery game. Take it to the next level. Visit baggenie.net. Use code Pizza King and claim that free bag. Thank you. Thank you so much to Brian and the team at Bag Genie for supporting the show. Now let's dive into today's episode.
You know, whoever's watching this, you might not think that Sioux City, Iowa would give you an extraordinary culinary experience, but it's an amazing setup of these small places that are family owned that have been in business for 50 and 60 years.
It doesn't happen by accident.
All right, there we go. I'm here with Bob. Bob, you have to tell me, Protexter?
Correct.
That's Bob Protexter from Pizza Shack in Arcadia, Oklahoma. We've been chatting here for the last 10 minutes, Bob. Super cool. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Pizza King family. Can you tell us about Pizza Shack and who you are?
Well, that's awesome. Thanks for having me on. Who I am and who the Pizza Shack is are kind of a little mix of things together, but I'm from Sioux City, Iowa.
Okay.
And spare you the whole life story, but in 1984, and I was between my junior and senior high school, I worked at a pizza place, and it was two blocks from my house, and I knew the family growing up my whole life. And the best story I can tell you about that place is I was 12 years old one time. We went in to get a pizza, and we paid for it. And I left, and I asked my mom, I was like, why did we have to pay for that pizza? Cause they were so generous. And my dad worked at the college, you know, right next door, about two, three blocks away also. And he would always let them in the pass gate to go watch basketball. And then when I got busy, they would leave. And it was just always, they were always generous, and they remembered when you helped them, and they would help you. And they sincerely made their business by giving away free pizzas. So I'm from Sioux City, Iowa, a place called Jerry's Pizza. For the record, I did call him before I come down here to get his blessing, you know, because you work at some place and you take some ideas and some methods of doing stuff and you go somewhere else. And we are 8 hours away, so it's a little different than.
I say, are they still open and operating over there too?
For eternity, they will be open and operating. They, knock on wood, they opened in 1959 with Jerry. Wow. And his wife Eileen, and then their kids were real young, and they opened with a card table, a shoebox for money, and a rolling pin. So I got my rolling pin right here, just in case you ever need it. and they've been open ever since, and they're killing it. You know, they have. It's Jerry died in I think the late 80s, early 90s, it was news on our local news. He had such an impact on the community as a whole and the extended community of our town. And I'd worked there on and off from around my baseball schedule. I was fortunate enough to travel a lot with baseball. Then I worked I coached college in my hometown of Sioux City. And like a lot of coaches in the off season at different times of year, you'll work. So yeah, I worked there on and off I'm old man. I worked there on and off for 34 years. So till 2018 is the last time I worked there.
So you got to spend your summers traveling and playing ball and your winters tossing pies?
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Delivering a lot of pizza. Cool. So we, you know, the worse the weather, the better the business. So for delivery I just didn't realize till I got here how much I thought I could do this, you know, but I didn't know until I got here how much I'd learned to work at that place and how you know, when you grow up, you're kind of treat people like your family treats people, but that was kind of a secondary family, like, and you work there for so many years, you get to know people and they just, they treat people really well. And so we try to do that. I encourage our workers to do that, but, we give away probably more pizzas than my owner and friend wants me to, but, you know, it's our best investment. It's our best advertising is a slice of pizza and people come back for it. But
I always say the best way to make friends is show up with some pizza.
There you go. There you go. So, and we were just talking about that today. You know, I think probably going to start driving to hair salons and beauty parlors and barbershops, cause that's your town crier. And, we just met a lady and she's, I talk to people all day and she likes our pizza. But anyway, the kind of fast forward to this story was in April last year, a year ago this month. I was just closing out my sixth year of substitute teaching and, Eddie Gokenauer, the owner of the Chicken Shack, he called me. We'd grown up, we played baseball together. We played football together. He played football. I suited. I was a skinny second baseman trying to play football. So, and he was a linebacker. We won the state tournament. And another friend of ours, Troy Bolke, he works here. And so there's three of us from the same class. But he, you know, he had a chicken shack in Iowa, a couple small ones in Iowa, in a place called Iowa Great Lakes, Okoboji. If you wear an Okoboji shirt long enough in Tampa, somebody's going to know where that's from. So,
I have to get me one.
I will. Send me your address and your size. I'll send you one tomorrow. He had a place up there and he got married and started having kids and they got in a different type of business. And then he came down here on business and he left that. And in 2016, he's for the locals here, for anybody traveling through Route 66, he was in Luther, Oklahoma with a food salesman. They sat on 2 5-gallon buckets and started telling him his vision. And the guy told me when I came here to talk to me about food, he goes, either he was crazy or he's a dreamer. And, you know, now he's got the largest landmass restaurant in Oklahoma. It's, you know, I just counted the tables cause I wanted to tell you that next door, I think there's 179 tables. So there's his, you walk in the first part of the restaurant and it's a restaurant and you walk into the second part of the restaurant, it's the size of 2 restaurants. And then the bar is something out of whatever you call it, Coyote Ugly or some movie, you know, or some New York City bar that's like 50 feet long and the bar is expansive. That's not till you get outside. When the weather turns nice, you know, we are, you wouldn't think of Oklahoma, you know, as bad weather, but people down here don't like it when it gets below 50. So, but it gets about 50 and 60 and sunny and we got outdoor music and then you have a expansive outdoor area. It's kind of the state fair atmosphere. You know, there's
a whole experience. I want to bring my kids.
And that's what people come here for. They bring their dogs. They ride their motorcycles out here. They drive their Corvettes. They have Corvette club stuff. And just, it's, you know, and you know, we were texting back and forth and he said, pizza. I'm like, you have pizza. You want pizza? He goes, no, I want you to come down and make some pizza, see how it goes. He was really respectful of my time. He goes, you come down for 2 or 3 days and, you know, see how it goes. I was like, there's not much damage I can do in 2 or 3 days. So I said last year was one of 2 times I could come down. It was came down on Memorial Day. It was kind of a big bang entrance by accident, by mistake. So growing up, you know, you don't realize this when you're in high school, but a lot of people take care of you and you don't realize when you show up to eat food that somebody paid for it. Yeah. Somebody had to work to, you know, food's not free. I mean, you can give it away free, but in the back end, somebody paid for it. Somebody
it cost somewhere.
Somebody paid for it somewhere. It cost somebody something. So they say, pass it along or what do they say, pay it forward. So, so on a side note, but also involved in all this, you know, the Savannah Bananas, we're traveling the country and a friend of mine plays for them. And I'm not sure how involved he is this year. In the past couple of years, been pretty involved. His name is Bill Lee. Pitched for the Boston Red Sox. Pitched Game 7 in the 1975 World Series. And he's been to Iowa to help me with baseball programs. I've been involved with baseball for 35 years. But I said, maybe we can invite the team to this Chicken Shack place. And I hadn't been here yet. I'd seen pictures. I knew it was pretty big. But I proposed to Eddie. It's like, hey, can you feed him? He goes, yeah. And he gives me a hard time because I keep going back. And I said, okay, but like to feed him, you're going to pay for it. He goes, yeah. And he goes, no, you understand there's like 110 people. He goes, yeah. And
he's still a lot of food.
I said, yes, but you know, it's a big deal. And they played a couple games in Oklahoma City at the Bricktown ballpark. It's AAA park. And they played Friday, Saturday. They were on their way to Tulsa to play on Monday. So we contacted through the team and said, you know, we'd like to take care of your team. And Eddie footed the bill. They showed up with two cruisers, two 55 passenger buses. They got 110 people packed in there. And they sat outside for 3 hours. They ate, they drank. The guys that wanted to be secluded, they kind of hid off in the corner. Guys that wanted to do stuff, they went on the dance floor. They started doing line dancing.
Oh, my goodness.
All the dances they do, they started doing them there. And it wasn't advertised to the public, so which is it's a credit to Eddie. Just kind of wanted to invite him out. Kind of inviting your friends over, right?
Yeah.
So, and there's basketball, there's volleyball.
Makes them more comfortable too, you know, when it's,
Said hands down, it was the best day off they had off all last summer.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, they travel the country. They said one guy is crazy. He's like, this is better than Vegas. So we videotape recorded him say it was better than Vegas. But, you know, it's a big deal. It's a country atmosphere. But I'm skipping past the first year. But he invited me down, and I literally arrived at 11:30 a.m. on the Memorial Day Sunday. They arrived at 12:30. I had been with the team, not really with the team. I was out there for their tryouts the year before, kind of observing and watching and seeing if there was some baseball aspect in there for me. And I'm too old to play at that level, and I don't dance very well, so I don't.
I was gonna say, are you there to choreograph?
No, and I it's kind of out of my realm. But I just fascinated, like the fly in the wall. Like you wanted to see it, I wanted to see it, so I went out there, and so I knew some of the players, and I introduced Eddie and Troy, and I said, hey, go have at it. And they were there. They were there for like 3 hours, but we went to the game on Monday in Tulsa, sat in the dugout, and then Wednesday, you know, I drug my feet starting here that Monday and Tuesday because I know once you start, you can't not stop, right? So
once it's on, it's on.
I took a day off before I started. So I started on a Wednesday, and that was May 31st. I've been at it ever since. You know, we had, I don't know if you can see our ovens.
Brick oven.
He bought those, or deck ovens, Marsal ovens. He bought those at a some kind of auction. He was in restoration business for a long time, so he has a really good eye for finding good deals and knowing how, you know, the back end of that business works rather than walking through the front door and buying a new Toyota. You know, he knows where the older Toyotas are that are going to work just as good, and kind of a comparison of that the car life. But and then to get those through there, back through this wall. He had to cut a hole in the wall to get the ovens in the building.
Oh, so once they're in, they're in.
Yeah, so now
that's what we're going with.
No, there's too much. The legs were too long. They couldn't tip them sideways with all the mechanisms in there. It wasn't going to work. So this was before I got here. So when I got here, building was intact, and it's a fascinating building. But no, that was a simple ask. He goes, can you come down here and make pizzas? I said, this is one of two times I can come down and see how it goes. And got here and met the Savannah Bananas. And Wednesday we started with pizza. You know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I started meeting with food distributors and I had an idea really what I wanted to do. To replicate perfection is really tough. So the place I came from is considered by a lot of people, you know, our favorite pizza, or our town's favorite pizza. And sometimes, you know, is it nostalgia? Is it just your hometown stuff? And it's not, you know, it's really that good. And they do a lot of unique things. And I think they did a lot of things back in the early days that they continued with, you know, rather than trying to modernize and be new and fancy, they just kept with what worked. And yeah, they've been open since 1959. They have two locations. Two brothers own the place back in Sioux City, and I was fortunate enough to be be a part of that for a very long time. And yeah, I didn't just never realize how much I learned after I started to have to, you know, started from scratch and do it myself. So, I mean, we had, I didn't walk into a place. I didn't walk into a chain, you know, it was start from an empty cooler and ovens that had been used in about 5 years and
put it all together.
Yeah. And a Subway, we use a Subway making table. First day we tried to make pizzas, the roller broke. So we had to fix a roller and we just, you know, those are daily stories. You know, you do and what you've done, you know, that like, there's not a day that goes by that doesn't have a story that could be a full episode on TV. There's something to happen and
something's going to happen every day. That's just part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's our biggest thing is, you know, just like we make pizzas, you build them from the bottom up. So you got your dough, you know, and sauce, cheese, and then your ingredients. Most pizzas are made that way. Some are kind of upside down or, you know, different types of pies or styles. But so two things happen. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, so, you know, for a place to be open for 60 years, that's not brainwashing. That's the real deal. You know, that's not just home cooking.
They don't market. They don't advertise. They support the local schools. You know, they'll put their ads in programs, but I mean, they don't put stuff on TV. And it's just it's one of those places. It's part of the community. It's part of the culture. And it's not, how do you say, like I said, I wonder more this year is like, it's just nostalgia. It's just like when people go back there, they want to eat there, but no, I delivered there. I deliver pizzas there on and off for years. And I would go to the same house on the same day at the same time for the same person with the same pizza for year in and year out. And, you know, just on a Tuesday, that's what that guy orders on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So you can't fake that. You can't advertise your way into that. You got to like it. And a lot of love in their pizzas. They have a lot of people I think America gets a bad rap for we can't find good workers. I'm super fortunate, knock on wood. Again, I got great workers here and they've had great workers there. But I think that's, you have to cultivate that. Just that doesn't happen by accident. Can't when you put a help wanted sign out, you don't say looking for great workers, right?
No, somebody save me.
Yeah, so we need workers. So we've been really fortunate for some local, I'm by far, by more than a generation or two, the oldest person working here. So we have a lot of young people and you have to give them a lot of direction. But I watched how it was handled, you know, where I came from.
Yeah.
I didn't invent this. You know, I watched it. I watched how it was enacted. I watched the culture that was cultivated. Just it went on for, you know, decades, you know.
For generations. That's incredible. Yeah. So you were able to, you know, borrow some of the philosophies and lessons that you learned from, and tell me again, it was Jerry's Pizza, right?
Jerry's Pizza in Sioux City, Iowa. Yeah. I'd like to think I was smart enough to invent this stuff, but I'm not, you know, you like to, you always like to think, wow, I did that. But I you know, my hand was held for 30 some years watching it, you know, and I did the only thing I didn't do there was payroll. I would deliver payroll. I would pick up payroll. I would, you know, you do trash, you do deliveries. When they were desperate, I would make pizzas because you know, they had pizza makers you know, I would fill a pizza making position every once in a while, mostly delivered. And you have to basically know everything there. You got to roll because you're not useful as a functional human being in a pizza place if you can't do everything.
a little bit of it for sure.
Well, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. You know, go help me with this because, you know, you can't have the wheels stop just because somebody can't, you know, do the roller or watch pizzas for 10 minutes or just filling in a void. So we don't have a name for the system, but it's just kind of, we fill in voids, you know? So when the phone rings, we don't have a phone answer. Whoever's closest, whoever's the most free, will go take the phone and that they fill in that void. Now, if there's a pizza back there, they walked away from, somebody can walk up, look at it and finish that. So it's, you know, watch the oven for 10 minutes. I'm going to go next door. So there's just a lot of void filling. You know, I always say girls, but we have more than just girls here. We have a couple guys, but they are employees. We'll go with that. But our girls, our guys, our employees have become really excellent void fillers. They take care of our customers. We serve in sacks. We serve in pizza sacks.
I saw that. I was going to ask you about that. He's going to show us the sack. I want to see this because I saw that on Instagram.
So we serve in pizza sacks, and this is something that.
So on a tray in the sack?
On a white disc. I might make a pizza for you. Right? I don't know if you have time. I might make a pizza for you, but so pretty standard, right? But we do that. Okay. And then it'll go right inside the sack. And the amazing thing from my thighs to the floor, I got 2,000 sacks.
You know, no boxes whatsoever.
We begrudgingly use boxes from time to time, and then you know if we're not on it, we get busy and we run out of sacks. It takes a couple days to get in, and we do use boxes. So
for emergency purposes only.
For emergency purposes only, there's a few customers that request it. But what happens with sacks is it really forces your hand. There's a better term than that, but it prompts you into have to have excellent customer service because you can't stack them. So all of a sudden you got mom with two, three pizzas. You got one in one hand, one another. She got to open the door. And
you got to go help her.
And you got to go to the car. So I was like, hey, we'll help you out with that. And some people are a little taken aback, like, no, we'll get them. Like, well, because they're not thinking ahead. Like, I got to open the door, and somebody walks in somebody rolls in the parking lot with a $70,000 car. They don't want to put that pizza on that car. It's going to scratch it. But I like that. I like that aspect of it. And
how did you guys decide to go with the sack versus the traditional box?
You know, when Eddie asked me to come down here. He goes, I'd like you to work here. I'd like you to, do pizza here because of where I worked at. And we did, that was about the limit of our conversation. And I took that as we're going to do our best to emulate where I'd come from, which is Jerry's Pizza. And they had sacks. Nice. You know, it's sacks. They have homemade dough. Our ovens are different. Our dough is different. But within all that, you know, the customer service, you know, but got to help people and opening doors and sacks, you can't stack them, you know, you pop them with air and they encase that air, but then they don't carry the whiff of cardboard. And I'm not a fan of that. I think probably because I worked at a place where we didn't have boxes, but I mean, if you do what you do, you know, how much space 2000 boxes take up.
Well, I had to put a whole shed out back for boxes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So trust me, I get it.
They come from Fisher Paper Products. It's we get them from a place called Wrap It Up To Go in Illinois. Hi, Rich. I'm going to tell Rich to watch this, but
is it wax or is it,
so there's a name for it. It's not butcher paper. I'm not sure parchment paper. There's a specific name for it.
Okay.
I'm really failing you today by not knowing.
It's hard to tell on the camera, but it looks like it had kind of one of those, like a wax coating on it or.
It's got a little bit because that was the big question. So what happened was, I love Oklahoma people, but there's a little bit of you can't do that in Oklahoma people. Like there's always a challenge. They're like, how you can't do that. How are you going to do it? And you got to be a little tough to like get past that because like you can't do that in sacks. Like, and then they told me all the reasons that you could. And Eddie and I would look at each other and it's like, we watched it been done since we were in middle school, you know, and the place been open since 1959. And there are a lot of places in the North Chicago area, they do the sacks, North Dakota, there's places that do that, but it's not prevalent. It's not popular. And the some of the customers don't like it. We actually got a bad review because we have sacks instead of boxes. I'll take that. That's okay. But but for us, it's this better taste. And you get into storage. And like I said, I got cheese stick sacks and pizza sacks. I got from my waist down to the floor. I got 2,000 and 2,000 boxes take up a lot of space.
It sure does.
We're going to say it's better for the world too. A little less footprint, but
I'll take that. I'll take that all day long. And I'm used to seeing slices go in a sack, but I hadn't seen where, you know, at least in operation where a whole pie would go in. So what size pizzas do you guys make?
So we officially only have 14 inch pizzas on our menu.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're set up with templates to cut 8, 10, 12, 14 and 16 inch pizzas. You know, like I said, I love your podcast and the messages you put out there, and you talked about, you know, making it simple. If you can do, you know, I'm involved in baseball and you know, if you can catch a ground ball, you know, you make money. You know, it sounds too simplistic, but the higher levels you go up, you don't see guys miss, you know, so on this, we didn't want to miss. So instead of offering, you know, minis and smalls and mediums and larges and jumbles, we just offer one size. It's a large.
Let's master the large pizza. Yeah, I love it.
Yep. And we get all kinds of ideas. You know, you need to have salads. You need to have this. You should do this. You're never going to survive in Oklahoma without chicken bacon ranch pizza. I'm like, well, wait a second. So chicken bacon ranch pizza is not happening here. So we serve pizza, and next door they serve chicken. So if you want chicken, we call it 10 steps east, 47 second walk over there if you want chicken. If you want pizza. So then we have, this is our mascot. I'm trying to do this.
You got the chicken. Oh, I see him. Oh, with the pizza.
This is the chicken. Our chicken serves pizza, so we don't serve chicken on pizza. So that became and that went on our shirt then. So that's on our.
Oh, that's crazy. I see it. Yeah, I see it.
So our chicken serves
pizza. We don't serve chicken on pizza.
Chicken serving pizza. We have Route 66, Oklahoma. Tried to go through some fancy logo designs, and a friend of mine, that's designer, said, use that. I'm like, I can't use that. That's the sign I paid out front. It took me 10 minutes. And he says, no, you have to use that. I'm like, no, I can't use that. And I said, and he goes, no, you have to, because now you have hand painted sign and handmade pizzas. So,
I like it.
So that became our logo. But back to the sacks, you know, it was something we had been used to. And, yet, like I said, if you're going to come to Oklahoma, toughen up a little bit, because they're going to tell you, they're going to challenge you. And they said, you can't do that. You know, the sacks are going to get greasy and they're going to rip. And, but no, it's if you prep them right and pop the sack, get a little air in there, creates a little warmth bubble too, a little steam in there. So when you tear it open, the steam comes out and
it's got freshness. Right in your face.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, the one thing I know about Oklahoma, if they're going to challenge you, once they love you, they love you though.
I've been told that. Yeah.
Once they love you, they love you.
I had a friend. So I got down here and, you know, I hadn't been here much, a couple days here and there in my life and passing through. I used to go to school in Texas and I would go right through Oklahoma. You're exactly right. I think you have friends or relatives out here.
Yeah. My brother's in Bartlesville.
There you go. So you got to put Pizza Shack on your list of destinations this year.
I'd love to. And I spent a lot of time with Fuzzy's Taco Shop and, you know, the stores that operate in Oklahoma were, you know, far and away some of the best in the system. And, you know, those people just absolutely love the brand. So once they embraced it, and it was the same thing, you can't make tacos like that in Oklahoma. And once they embraced it and, you know, they put one there in Bricktown and it just took off. It's crazy.
Well, Bricktown's it's a famous place. I was down there yesterday and it's got a lot of neat places. I'm not sure what the name of your place is, but what is it? What was it? Fuzzy's?
Fuzzy's Taco Shop. Yeah.
Yes. I've heard famous things about that.
Yeah.
So
they had to earn it the same way, you know, because they were different, very different.
So I got here. I didn't know anybody and I knew Ed and knew Troy is a classmate of ours. Well, there's another classmate that lives 10 minutes from here. So I had a few points of reference and people to know. And after that, it was every day it was new. You know, I got lost in the how many tens of new friends and people am I going to know today? So I was watching, I got here the first week I got here, I emailed a guy, you know, he was from out of town and he moved into, I read about him a little bit from out of town, moved into town and started up some restaurants and won an award. And that's the limit that I knew about it, you know? So I don't know that I really consider myself a restaurateur or a pizza place guy, but looking back, I've worked in like 15 kitchens in my life, not including the Jerry's Pizza, but it's always kind of been an interesting, you know, fascinated by the food stuff. And my mom told me some, he goes, I'd make funky sandwiches. And she said, well, you should be a chef. And like, I never thought about it. But I paid attention. You know, we came down here. I thought we could do something neat. And so I emailed the guy. I said, hey, you know, if you want to bring your family or your friends out sometimes, because it's like chefs, they get engrossed in what they do and they need to not do that and go somewhere else and just relax and have like the Savannah Bananas, just go somewhere and have a meal.
Yeah.
I did. And then he never called me back. And about a month and a half later, he calls me back and he says, hey, this is Andrew Black. And I'm like, it's like, wait a second. I know this. He goes, you had emailed me. He's like, yeah, yeah. He goes, we're out here. He goes, we're going to have chicken next door. We're going to like to come over and have some pizza. I was like, okay. And as we're walking over here, I tell him, I was like, you know, I contacted you because you were from somewhere else. He's from Jamaica originally and had been in the States for quite a while. But I was like, you're from somewhere else and you came here. And I told him that. I'm like, you get a little bit of that. You can't do that here. And he goes, you know what? He goes, I ran the same thing. He goes, but once they love you, they'll love you. And you make good food for them and they'll turn out for you. They'll be loyal. And he was right. And we have an amazing amount of loyal customers. They're like clockwork. Now they're starting to come in on certain days. I'm like, okay, that's Mark at 4:30 on a Saturday. He's here for pizza.
Get the regulars. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think what appealed to him in replying to my email was I'm not from here and I'm trying something new too. And I think he took some appreciation for that. Turns out the guy who is Andrew Black is he won a major nationwide restaurateur chef award and is considered one of the top chefs in America. So we were blessed to just, you know, I just contact people. You have to contact people and just like I contacted you and I just, it was interesting to, you know, to see people do interesting things. And like, I just had no idea, you know, the level of high fluency it was in the kitchen. And, but he didn't put that on when he came here. He walked, I brought him to our kitchen and say, wow, you got going on here. He likes up about our kitchen and had some pizza. He goes, I'm not much of a pizza eater, but I like your pizza. So it's been good. We try to invite people in. And
that's a great endorsement to get, you know, right from the beginning.
It is. I haven't used it. I'm not, you know, I tell the story, but I wouldn't be bad to say Andrew Black approved, but he's a neat guy. We've traded a few messages and he continues to open. But, you know, then I listen to one of his stories, you know, where he came in and he opened up a fancy high-end restaurant. I think he said they had four people the first night and four or six the next night. And some big spender told him, you can't make that stuff here in Oklahoma ever to hope to make money. Might as well close up now. And that was, you know, so you get a little, you get challenged. I didn't see it as a challenge first. I took it as an insult. And I realized it's not an insult. It's like, you know, what do you got? Yeah. What do you got? Well, I'm convinced it came from the Sooner days when the Sooner is named after who gets there sooner. You know, when they had the land rush, you know, so people had to rush out, put a flag in the land. That's our land. So you got to, you know, you're challenged by that mentality. I think that carries through to today. And I learned something new about Oklahoma every day. But it's been interesting.
So you guys, then you open in, it looks like in July. Was there pressure from the beginning to live up to, I mean, you're attached to an iconic restaurant now, you know, there at, you know, next to Chicken Shack. Was there pressure on you guys in the beginning to show up and say, like, this is has to be right on that same level as experience as Chicken Shack? Same
level of experience? Chicken Shack, that's a different entity. Like, that's a different, you know, the whole atmosphere over there, that's different than where I came from in the pizza place. Our pizza place, miniature, same building it's been in since 1959. So that was my level of I need to do whatever we need to do to make it as good as that. You know, yeah. That's considered by every town's got one. But for some reason, that seems to be a little different, cut above the rest for me. And like, that's, you know, we consider that the world's best pizza. So now all of a sudden I work there forever. Now I got to try to emulate that. And I can't replicate it. You know, there's nothing to replicate there. It's just like, you know, the dough recipe is a secret. Our ovens are different. you know, and you're used to using certain equipment. I walked in here, I opened the oven. I'm like, oh, shh. It's like, these are different ovens, you know? And then, so I got different ovens. So you got to create our own dough. And we had, you know, 30 days up and running. So food stocked, dough recipe. That was, so I was talking earlier about building from the pizza up, the pizza up, like you make a pizza, you know, we had to start with dough. And yeah, Jerry's used to do their own dough. And then a long, long time ago, they, very famous donut shop in our town that's also been open for 60, 70 years. You know, whoever's watching this, you might not think that Sioux City, Iowa would give you an extraordinary culinary experience, but it's an amazing setup of these small places that are family owned that have been in business for 50 and 60 years.
It doesn't happen by accident.
No, there's miles in. They have Charlie Boys. Somebody watching this somewhere is going to know what I'm talking about. They have Charlie Boy sandwiches. There's Tasty In-N-Out, which is, you know, two blocks away that has a different type of sandwich that's famous. They've been open since the 50s or 60s. There's a place called La Juanita's that President Obama visited, and it's somebody named them as a top 10 life-changing burrito of 2017, whatever. And Jerry's Pizza. There's Bob Rose, Point After. They have pizza and wings and a lot of the stuff Eddie also tried to emulate. It's like, can we do that as good as they did it? You know, and there's a Sneaky's Chicken I'm going to get somebody mad at me that I didn't name their restaurant or somebody, but it's, you know, it's just all these really Alfredo's pizza. Our pizza down here is called Unique, you know, and back home where I came from, there was, you know, six blocks away, there was another place that was kind of similar, and Bob Rose and Alfredo's similar. And there's a place downtown that has Buffalo Alice. So if you're from Sioux City, been through there, you're going to appreciate this. If you haven't been, if you're close,
hope to encourage someone to go to Sioux City and try these places out. I know I'm interested.
Well, so it's not a nostalgia thing. It's nostalgia when you go back there, but when you live there, you eat at these places.
Yeah. These are the places that you go to every week, right?
Yep. And they've been there. They're family owned. They've been there for 40, 50, 60 years. I mean, La Juanita's is an amazing. It's a cultural mix for in the middle of town of people from everywhere, all colors, shapes, sizes, billfold sizes, different, and just people walk in there. And the guy has a brown paper bag, and he's writing it down. He's shouting out the orders, and the Mexican food circles. It goes in a circle to right out to you, and it's an experience just to watch it. So
it sounds really cool.
So in an effort to kind of hopefully, you know, like I said, emulate or replicate those places, our level of, I don't want to say stress, but what you're trying to attain was really high. It was a high mark.
It sounds like it.
So, yeah. So we wanted obviously good dough and we called donut shops. And Tyrell, you know, sometimes it's not so much, can you get that to me? Do you want to get it for me? You know, yeah. So it's ambition testing. You know, We tried a few places that very good reputations, and one said, you know, we can probably put together a couple recipes for you, have them to you in 3 weeks. I'm like, when do you need it? I'm like, well, yesterday.
Three weeks ago.
Because whatever dough you give me is not what we're going to use. We're going to tweak it. We're going to request tweaks and additions and subtractions and stuff. So we started getting dough from about three or four different places. And then, can you add more? Can you take a little moisture out of it? Can you try this? Can you add this? Can you take this out? So people think it's a fascinating story, I guess, but that's who had the best dough. It was a place called Oklahoma Academy. It's a Seventh-day Adventist boarding school. Saturday is the Sabbath, so I have to make sure I have my dough and I can't order on Saturday. So I got to plan my week out around that. They have Margaret, I'm going to make Margaret watch this so she can see your name out there, and Karen, the lady that runs the place. So it's a Seventh-day Adventist boarding school, kids from all over the world. They feed 70 people a day in their school. And then they have an aviation program. They have a mechanics program. They also have a bakery and food culinary. It's a high school, but it's also they do a vocation with it.
Oh, okay.
And they have their own standalone bakery store that sells their baked goods. They do a lot of clean food.
To the public, they have a retail location?
Yeah, yeah. So it's a not-for-profit school, and they run a not-for-profit business. It's a bakery and a food store. And the owner and the sister of the owner, Winch, they just said, this is a place that needs to be on our list. And I tried other places. I tried a sourdough place, and I couldn't get the dough through the roller. Just dough's got its own
own character. It's got its own life, for sure. Absolutely.
It's got its own character. It's like weather. It can change. So you got to – you got to be ready for that. But, and then one day in the process, she showed up with dough and basically apologized. She goes, "I don't think this is what you're looking for, but this is kind of how you told us how it should be." And I started moving it and feeling it. I'm like, this is amazing.
It's the one.
It's the one, and she was apologizing for bringing me a bad batch of dough. And because it's not traditional, it's not Aaron. Ours is kind of more dense. It's not light and airy and puffy. It can be when it expands. When you expose it to certain temperatures, it'll get puffy and airy. But we like to keep it cold for as long as we can, and then just let it go to room temperature and start the dough process. And
a little more dense. You guys put a lot of toppings on, so I imagine that's necessary too for a dough.
I never thought about that. So yeah, our dough is a little dense, but it crisps up, it hardens up. But yeah, I even had one customer say, "Do you really need to put that many toppings on?" I'm like, "Do you not like that?" He goes, no, I like it, but maybe you make more money if you put less on." He goes, "Yeah, but I think people are coming for that." Now it's a thing like, wow, you put a lot of toppings on your pizza. So they show up. There's nothing worse when you show up to a place, get a pepperoni pizza, and you get like a giant slice. You got like two pepperonis. You got to plan out how you're going to eat half that slice with one bite of pepperoni. So we don't, our largest 14 inches, we don't count. If we do count, it should be around 63. But, we fill all the white spaces. We talk about color a lot. So those white, we cover up the white with the red, with the sauce. And, you don't want to see much of the dough.
No crust, toppings to the edge, right?
Toppings to the edge. Yep. And then you cover up the red with the white with cheese, and you're going to have minimal, some places, different places, they'll have blobs of cheese, but we cover ours. And then after that, you cover the toppings and we have a systematic way that changes every day, because it's really tough to have as many templates as pizzas that we make to have. That's how that one is. But we follow kind of a set of rules of how much meat is exposed and how much more meat you put on if there's less ingredients. So by the time you get to the top, it's kind of all equal, regardless of how many, ingredients you have on there. But
so constantly evolving, how the distribution works and, what the end product looks like. Do you square cut or is it triangle?
We get our Illinois people come in here and they want it party style. They want it square cut or whatever you call it, party style. But we cut it in 12s. So we have 14 inch pizza, we cut in 12s, and occasionally what we like to do is cut it into 16s or 20s and take it next door to the Chicken Shack.
Let people sample it.
Yeah. We call it appetizer slices. So we half it, we half it again, and we half those halves and half those halves. And I if I did my math right there, you should have 60 and 20 pieces. And but just something to grab onto. It's not a, like I talk about, like pizza is $20. Like, it's a commitment, right? It's not a $7 sandwich and a Coke for $9.99. And $20 is a commitment. So are you going to try $20? You'll spend $20 in a hurry if you like that little slice. But if you never had it, that's our biggest and best and baddest advertisement is walk next door to the Chicken Shack. And I'll walk up to the table and like, we didn't order pizza. I'm like, no. We got some from next door. And like, you can do that, because they don't know that we're connected so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so that and a million other stories I could tell you. But so when you start a place, I started with all my employees, I think three of them, this is their first job ever. So which can be challenging. That can also be good. They don't have anything in their mind of how it's going to work. So you give them a lot of instruction.
I love a blank canvas. It gives you the chance to really do it the right way. It takes the right leader to do it. However, you can get the most out of a person when there's no other, you know, experiences in there.
Preconceived pizza experience seems like it'd be a great thing, but it's hard to break those habits.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had one of our girls worked in a restaurant before, actually two of them had, and there's some, they go, you know, we did this there, we did this there. And we try to eliminate, we did this there because this is how we're going to do it, you know? And the biggest thing in making pizza, sometimes you'll get a tendency. That's my biggest downfall when I worked at Jerry's, like, they're like, Bob, make it how we make it, not how you like it. You know, because sometimes I might like a little more sauce, but you had to standardize it. And there was no templates there either. It was just
Jerry's pizza, not Bob's pizza.
Yes, it was hand me down information. You know, it was all verbal. It was all verbal. There was no booklet. There was no instruction manual. There was no videos. There was no templates. So, you know, to the chagrin of one of my workers at the Chicken Shack, we've kind of avoided that too here because I wanted them to. Because if I can teach you, Tyrell, how to do it, and you're proficient at it, then you can teach the next person. So I don't have to train the new people, not in a lazy way. Just I like to watch our people train the new people because that reinforces to them how we make it, and then I can correct it if it's not right. But
yeah.
You know, then you don't have to micromanage like little things like that. Like pizza looks good. And we want to have our pizzas not identifiable by who made them.
Absolutely. I like that.
Because you know there's restaurants when you walk in, it's like, is John cooking today? He's like, yeah. It's like, well, we're gonna go next door. Like,
yeah.
You know, is Jimmy back there? It's like, yeah. Okay. So I'll take this, and this. So you don't want
to the customers know. The customers will know.
You think they don't, but they do. So, but anyway, no, the biggest challenge was, you know, there's so many steps to a pizza. Like I really encourage them to fix things, you know, because if I don't dust off enough flour, I like the next person, you have to do that. You know, I have to get rid of the flour on the pizza. You know, we don't want a cake, you know, that pasty taste in your mouth. So I was like, if that person doesn't do their job, not in a bad way, just it didn't get done or didn't get done how it should have been. You know, next person has to do it. So then the sauce goes on and then the cheese goes on and then the pizza goes on. And then so the pizza gets checked once when they're done, once when I check it, you know, and another time when I bring it out, make sure everything's right because you'll miss stuff. No black olives, add black olives, whatever. And the biggest challenge was, boy, our first month and a half, I was auditing probably 75% of our pizzas.
You really want to make sure in those early days.
Yeah, yeah. And then the early days, like that sets your tone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd send it back. It's like, that's too much of this. That's not enough of this. You know, I send it back. And our sending it back means it's just I hand it to the left because our kitchen's pretty small. You know, we work in a circle or in a U shape. J shape/U shape/circle. It's pretty small. A lot of butts in the kitchen. A lot of contact, you know, you got to be careful where you're at, but it's not, I don't have to walk it somewhere. I was like, turn around. I was like, here, you got it.
Please do this again. Yeah.
And I just was thinking about last year, the other day, I walked in and, one of my workers comes in, girl comes in and didn't say boo to me. I started making pizzas. I started rolling. She would sauce and cheese. She'd make them. We'd hardly talked at all. So she, you know, but that happened today from what took place last August.
Yeah.
Like it was reinforced. And all of a sudden, like I just went through the whole night realizing that other than a little bit of chit chat, there was no pizza talk. It was just like, okay, that's done. And
everyone just doing what they need to do.
Yeah.
That feels so good.
I have good workers. I always hear the American thing like, wow, we can't find good people. The young kids, they're crap. They can't do anything. They won't work. And like, I don't know. Ours do. I've been fortunate, you know, and
people work for people. It's if you can't find good people, it's probably a reflection on leadership.
There you go.
That's what I say.
Yeah. So, you know, and then the next thing was we got the dough how we wanted and the sauce that we get, you know, the companies tell me, it's like, Bob, nobody gets this sauce. Why do you want this? I'm like, oh, I want it because I like it. It's like, well, how about this other sauce? Like, no, I go 80% of the people in Oklahoma City order that sauce. I'm like, well, that's probably one reason I don't want it, but you know, I wanted what I wanted. And Eddie was satisfied with that. He wanted what he wanted where we came from, and tried to, like I said, you can't replicate perfection. So it wasn't an effort to replicate. It was an effort to make your own thing and do your own thing and try to emulate what you learned and have good pizzas. So, people like our crust, and that's a huge part of pizza.
So how does Oklahoma Academy get you? So do you have scheduled deliveries with them? Do they give it to you in, you're doing 14, what are you getting, 14, 15 ounce of dough balls from them, or do they press out?
We get it in a sack, about a 15 pound sack. And where I worked at before, we go pick up the dough. I think it was like 30 to 40 pound bags, and we just, the less cut, the better when I get it, because then if it's cut, every time you cut dough, that dough is exposed to the air, and then it gets a little crispy and crusty, and which isn't terrible, but you want it as untouched as possible. So we get it in bags, probably 10, 15, 20 pounds. They vary a little bit, but and as needed, we just cut it. We punch it. We punch our dough after a certain point, so it expands to the area that it's growing in.
Yeah.
And, we'll cut the sack so they can grow a little more. But at a certain point, I want to collapse it, so we'll punch it.
So it takes some air out of it. Yeah.
Take some air out of it, keep that dense like we like it, and get it dense. And then, we go through a couple of orders a week. I've heard people brag about fresh dough. Well, we make fresh dough every day. I was like, we don't want fresh dough. That day of dough is okay. Just like chili. Chili's okay that first day, but there's nothing better than 2 or 3 day old chili. Seasons.
Yeah, our dough's best on day two and day three.
Yeah, it's
day two, day three. That's what we prep for.
I don't know if that's a good inside conversation. It's because day old donuts are cheap, right? Day old bread, week old bread is cheap, but our best dough is on the second and third day. It grows within itself, and without probably unmasking that I'm not an expert baker, but whatever happens inside the dough, when it ferments and stuff, and I've read things they talk about, the second, third day, but I just know by taste, by touch, by feel, by how it pulls, how it rolls, your best dough, and our dough will last a little longer. It's really clean. A lot of cleanliness in it, the type of stuff. We requested some different things that they couldn't or wouldn't put in there based on their dietary guidelines at their school. When they advertise fresh dough, it's so good.
But that says you didn't have to buy a mixer. You don't have to tweak your recipe or worry about who the prep guy's going to be day to day.
Correct.
You have some consistency in really the foundational product of what you do. So I like it. Now, from a cost standpoint, did you find it to be comparable to just doing it on your own?
Or too expensive.
Cost you a whole lot?
Too expensive. So, but you get into a lot of the ingredients they use, and I told somebody maybe our pizza's a little too expensive, but if our pizza's too expensive, that covers our dough costs. Our dough is a little expensive, but it's not factory made. It's never frozen. One of the salesmen at a place called Hagar, they fix machines. We went in there one time and I was telling him about our new place and just little stuff like that. He gave me a cutting board. I'm like, wow, he gave me something, he gave me something that I use every day. So you remember those things. But I always remember him telling me, he goes, people will pay for better. So
that's right.
We like to believe it's a little bit better. It's not churned out in a factory. It's not using all the cheapest ingredients to make a cheap pizza to bump up a little bit in price to make a lot of profits. And I mean, obviously you're in business, you want to make more than you spend to stay alive, but
you got to last.
Well, you do, but I mean, to compromise on a lot of things, so our pizza is a little more expensive, I think, than a lot of places, but also the ingredients we put in. I mean, we shred our own block mozzarella cheese. We use sauce that we have to special order because we can't get it, normal ways, but people really like our sauce. It's California tomatoes, super low in acidity and a little bit of basil, but, we put kind of heavily season the top of our pizzas.
Yeah.
So I think your best Mexican food is not spicy. You add your own spices to it. You know, it's really fulfilling. Of how do you say it? It's really best Mexican food I ever had. It's not spicy. It's like you spice it up how you want, but it has a good foundation, a good base, but it's really rich in taste.
Yeah.
So our dough is, you know, it's not seasoned with garlic or anything. Our sauce has a touch of basil. Our block mozzarella is straight whole milk block mozzarella. Doesn't have a tweak of, you know, any other kind of cheese in there.
Provolone or a cheddar mix or something like that.
Yeah. Man. So, and then our you know, we press our own meats. So our hamburger and sausage, we press our own. And a lot of people, they don't understand that until they tell us, like you get hamburger at the store. You know, you can buy a frozen patty and put it on the grill, but if you make your own hamburger, that's going to taste better. So we press our own sausage and hamburger and, you know, cut our own onions and green peppers. And then we do heavily season on the top. Well, not heavily. We do a little extra seasoning on the top to make up for what's not in the rest of it. And that's, it's been a big thing for us. People like it. And I don't know. It's been good. And it's been interesting. So.
Well, that's cool. So, you got a good team. You built a great product. You're seeing the success of it. What's next for Pizza Shack?
What's next for Pizza Shack? Here it is. I'll show you right here. What's next for Pizza Shack is, here's our new, we'll call it a campaign. How do I put that right there?
Chicken Shack. Yes, we have pizza.
Yeah. You know, because there's that challenge. Like we are literally, so I might give you a tour of the building in about a 30-second tour, but it's a 1920s gas station. I'm going to turn this around. Well, I'll just turn around. I'll just go out there and talk to you for a second.
Yeah, let's do it.
You can see Route 66.
Do you get a lot of tourist traffic?
You know, we do. So there you can see where we're at. We're on Route 66. And it's got all the signs up there. I'm going to try to get in some good light here. Literally on Route 66. And we get people. We've had people from Belgium, Australia, Germany, Spain, Portugal. And they're just traveling through. Sometimes they don't want pizza. They just want to take pictures.
Nice.
So, but our building is a 1920s gas station. And it's you know, I think I said the Chicken Shack has 179 tables, if not more. And when Eddie hears me say this, he'll probably add another 15 tables just so he's got more. But it's expansive. It's huge. I mean, they'll serve, you know, 600-700 people on a weekend, on a single day weekend, and cycling wow. through people all day long. You got fire pits out there, but we seat about 20, 22.
Okay.
So yes, we have pizza. We're calling it a campaign. Yes, we have pizza we forget. Sometimes when you're inside the game, you forget that not everybody knows what's going on. Mm. You know, people walk in and it's like, you know, we have pizza next door and the Chicken Shack menu is a sacred menu. It's going to stay the same. Now he adds specials. He'll add specials. He'll add daily specials, different things like that. But their menu is kind of he wants to be consistent. So in that consistency doesn't include exactly pizza on that menu, but we're allowed. Obviously, because he wants to sell pizza, but we're allowed to have, you know, we've handed out flyers, we've tried different things, but I think a lot of it is like you'll talk to people and like, you guys have pizza? And so right. our yes, we have pizza.
Yeah.
Yes, we have pizza.
It's not there, but I promise there's pizza. If you want pizza, we can get
yeah. it. Yeah. So and you know, we're about 100 yards from the Chicken Shack kitchen and that helps take a little stress off of their kitchen, you know, when they're serving I mean, they did a party the other day, about a 4-hour party for 300 people. And they're gone in 20 minutes. That dining room looks like nobody's been in there all day. They'll clean it up, turn it over. And next thing you know, then you got serving customers all night. It's you know, he's done a really great thing just by, I call it 5 miles from civilization. We are 5 miles from Edmond. Like we talked about Oklahoma people, they will challenge you and you got to be ready for it. And then the other thing is regardless of how big of boots they have and how nice of cars they have and they work or live in downtown Oklahoma City, they like the country. It's part of the culture here. The Mm-hmm. You know, there's more horses in Oklahoma, I think, than any other state. But they love coming out here, and you're in the country when you're here. And you're only 25 minutes from downtown Oklahoma City, and you're only 5 minutes from Edmond, which is a very large community right north of Oklahoma City. I don't know if it's a suburb so much as it is its own city, just adjacent to Oklahoma City, because they're their own thing.
So do you guys, so being located, 5 miles outside the city, I imagine you probably don't deliver then. So everyone comes to you, right?
So one size pizza and then 10 inch cheese stick and then just pop just trying to make do simple good right now. Yeah. So pizza delivery might be down the road. We're starting to do more and more pickup certain things with to go section run by Troy we talked about earlier trying to do simple as good as we can and then go from there. So last story I guess on the simple is we had some oven issues, we had some earthquake, we had freezing pipes, which not really conducive to Oklahoma, they don't freeze down here a lot, but we had a bunch of issues. Next thing you know, it's like, wow, we got all this dough, we got all this food, what do we do? I mean, your cheapest option is throw food away. It's probably your worst option, but it's your cheapest option, then, because you're just going to use it, and what do you do with it? You can't sell it. So we made it 10 for the kitchen and had them freeze it. And next thing you know, we're taking full advantage of the Chicken Shack with their giant freezer. And we stock about 30 to 50 frozen pizzas over there now. And we make them here. We do a factory night or factory hour, bring our girls in or guys, or our workers in for, 2 hours, and we'll knock out a bunch of pizzas and freeze them. And all of a sudden we have a frozen pizza business at the Chicken Shack.
So are they part baked? Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. You're taking baked businesses, taking on, taking on as an accident, but became a big mover for you.
Well, what do they say with lemons make lemonade? When you have frozen pipes, you make frozen pizzas. So no, they're not par baked. We'll occasionally do some half baked, but no, they're not par baked, half baked, quarter baked, anything. They're just straight frozen pizzas. They're the dough, and we have some instructions, to preheat the oven with something underneath the surface, but we've had good reviews. People seem to like them.
And to the point that you have to keep, 30 to 50 in stock at all times.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing. So we go count stock. So it rotates with our dough, at the end of our dough cycles, like, okay, where are we at with frozen pizzas? How much dough we have left? Don't want to throw anything away. Sometimes we make the Chicken Shack kitchen very happy. They got 30 to 50 people working over there on any given day. We'll make them pizza, but we just want to get to the end of our dough cycle and not have to throw anything away. But also do it in a timely manner where we're using fresh dough. So it's kind of a trick. It's a little imaginary trick. You got to try to put it together like a puzzle. So
that's very cool.
I got to tell you one thing though. I know, if you let me, I keep talking, but I'm sure you want to get on to other things for the day, but so we got this, you walk in, you see the free apple juice sign, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have apple juice in a container and people are like, what's the deal with the free apple juice? Like, it's strange. And I'm like, I don't know, what's the deal with free tortilla chips at a Mexican restaurant? Just eat it. You don't have to take it.
Right.
You're going to that Mexican restaurant that's got those awesome chips, right? You walk in and it's like, where's my chips? So there's no correlation with the chips and the apple juice. But I tell you what, people ask me why we do that. And when I was young, like probably 10 years old, we go to a place called Stevenson's Apple Farm in Kansas City. We'll watch some Royals games and my dad was a coach and he had one of his former players named Paul Splitter. If he played for the Royals, we would go down to Kansas City. And we go to this place every summer called Stevenson's Apple Farm. And so I'm a little kid. If you can make an impression on a little kid, it must be a good thing, right?
Yeah.
So they had free apple cider. Everything in the restaurant was made out of apples, apple butter, apple crisp, apple muffin, apple fritters, all their steaks and chicken had some kind of apple rub in them, but they had free apples.
That's my kind of place.
It was so good. Actually, they're closed. unfortunately, but their cookbook, and they would sell their cookbook. They didn't have any secrets. They would sell like what they made in the restaurant. Then the challenge is you can't make that. You can't replicate that. You can't replicate that perfection. Yeah. But so I tell my workers, like, this might be somebody's favorite restaurant. We don't know why. You know, if it's the Route 66 signs, or if it's the Saks and the pizza, or if it's, you know, if it's the not necessarily free apple juice going to make it. But I still remember when I was 10 years old, how big a deal was. And now we got kids that'll come in, they make a beeline to the apple juice.
Yeah. Someone's going to remember that.
There you go. There you go. And I thought it'd be a nice touch. And Eddie's full of yeses. He's like, yes. Yeah. You know, if it's a platform, for you to do things. So he said yes to a lot of things that a lot of people, you know, but he knew where we came from. And our football coach always said, never forget where you came from. And so it's why he called me. It's why he's got another friend down here. It's why he's tried to bring, you know, this taste of Sioux City to a place 8 hours away. And it's been interesting. So
it sounds like it's been a very good mesh of two different areas and cultures between Sioux City and, you know, where you are now in Oklahoma. It sounds like they're really embracing it. So,
well,
you know,
good for you guys. It takes a little bit. You gotta figure out your new area, but people from Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin really like our pizza because it reminds them of back home. Mm-hmm. And people down here, it's like, wow, I've never had anything like that. It's unique. It's considered unique. I'm not sure why, but it's unique.
because it's new to them.
Well, and it's called Iowa Stone Pizza. You ever heard of that?
I had not until you said that earlier.
Well, it's a new invention because these everything we have, you know, has been somewhere before. Just like that Toyota, you can get the used one. So the used oven's about 20 years old. They're probably about 20 grand new. And he got them for not much of anything and had to do a lot of retrofitting and called a friend of mine's chef about cleaning the ovens. And he said, I said, they're soapstone. And he goes, how do you know? And I'm like, you know, I don't know. You know, I can read the PDF file, the owner's manual. You know, I can
figure out where
that and say that what it is. And he's like, how do you know? Because his thing is he's experienced enough where if you clean those ovens in the wrong way, you're going to mess them up.
You'll crack it, they're porous. Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, do we use oil? Do we use water? You know, tell me a little bit about these. And he goes, well, I was like, if you don't know what they are, you know, play it safe. And in absence of knowing exactly what kind of stone they are, somebody named them Iowa Stone, and that's what we serve now. And it turned out to be a thing. It's Chicago, what do they call it, tavern style, pub style in Illinois, and thinner crust and crispy and holds up to the weight of all the toppings. And yeah, I invented something. I was just fortunate enough to work at an awesome place for awesome people, Terry and Diane Foister, for on and off for 30 some years, 1984 to 2018 is the last time I worked there. So I learned a lot by not knowing I was learning anything. I learned a lot. Like everything I do here is tied back to something there. So,
it's a really cool story. And I'm glad that I was able to talk to you and get to know you. And, you know, for the listeners that had a chance to hear this thing, and hopefully someone's driving through Route 66 and stop in and say hello.
Let me grab a shirt. I'm going to show you something. So Eddie's the owner. I think more he's the director of fun of anything. You know, he creates all these things. So here's here's a shirt. Obviously it says Chicken Shack on it, and they have their logo.
Yeah.
This is something they did. It was Chicken Shackapalooza.
Chicken Shackapalooza.
Yeah, and he's got merchandise, and we're about ready to order some new Pizza Shack shirts, so I better get your size and address. But they have a crawfish festival coming up here. They have a big event about every month.
That's really cool. How do people find you guys?
So if you're 5 miles outside of civilization, Edmond, Oklahoma, we're on right on Route 66. So we are 5 miles east of I-35 in Edmond. Okay. Online, you can find us on Instagram at Pizza Shack, Arcadia, Oklahoma. Facebook, you can find us. It's the same name, those with spaces and Pizza Shack, Arcady, Oklahoma. A lot of times people will Google pizza near me, which I always thought would be an awesome restaurant name. And I saw you saw that name. Somebody said, name their place pizza near me, but
yeah, my buddy in Texas did it. Yeah. And I love that he did that.
Yeah. I was like, that'd be a great name for a pizza place. But, but yeah. And then that was one of our things. It's going to be Shacktown Pizza or Pizza Shack, or we talked about Iowa Stone Pizza for a couple minutes and just settle on Pizza Shack. Pizza Shack at the Chicken Shack brings up a Google site, and I appreciate you reading our reviews on there. That brings in business. You know, people read. You got lookers, you got readers. So we try to appease everyone and have a little bit of everything. I think in the end, though, what I tell my customers, and I'll tell my people, and I get a little funny looks, but then they understand it. I said, the only complaint we want is bad pizza, because I can fix that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, don't complain to the internet. If you don't like your pizza, you call me, you know, and you tell us and we'll fix it. You know, I don't want to complain about bad attitude from my staff, about something not being clean and, you know, just different things. The only complaint I want is bad pizza. I can fix that. But, you know, message to anybody watching this, don't complain on the internet. I mean, it's not going to fix your meal, you know, complain to your waitress. People don't realize that actually the back of the house wants those complaints. They want to know what's going on in the front of the house, because there's a disconnect a lot of times. And I don't see people when they go home, it's like, wow, the pizza was not what they wanted. So we've had complaints and we fix them. You know,
I love it. If they don't complain, I don't know that we had a problem and I can't take care of it.
That's right.
Give me an opportunity.
And I've had a guy, I was like, hey, come back. And he came back and now he's a regular. You know, he went from being a complainer, not in a bad way, just that, to being a regular, because I say, hey, come back in. We'll give us another shot. And that's a tough thing. So we've been really fortunate on good reviews, and it's driven business in here, and people driving on I-35 and in the Oklahoma City area, you know, if they do pizza near me or food near me, and they look at that, it's brought people in. And then now it just kind of snowballs, you know, good reviews brought people in, free samples brings people in, friends. That's our biggest area of our business, is friends of
the word of mouth.
Word of mouth, that's your best. And that's, you know, but you have to have a good product to have good word of mouth.
Absolutely. It starts there. Well, this has been really fun. Thank you again for telling us your story. Please. And I'll put all your Instagram page and your website in the show notes, so that, you know, folks can find you quickly. Hang out. I'm going to stop the recording, but hang out.
We have pizza.
Chicken Shack.
So we got 600 people next door. They're going to come over here and eat pizza. But it's, hey, I appreciate you having me on. Like I said, I was a follower of your Instagram page, and then I became a little addicted. I started looking at all your things, and a lot of it resonated with a good human and a good business owner and a good conveyor of ideas, which helps me in the middle of Oklahoma, you know, be better. So I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. And just like we said earlier, it's good to know that what we're going through is not only us. We're all in this together. So thank you. And obviously I appreciate that support. I'm going to send you a book too. And so hang tight. I'm going to end this.
And thanks for having me on for such an extended period of time. I hope your customers will get to the end of this. So.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. That's the best part, is that we get to have a good conversation. And I got to say it here, because I told Bob, this is the first time I've ever interviewed anybody one-on-one like this. So thank you for being my first.
You're just having a conversation with a camera on. I don't think it'd be different if we didn't have a camera, but it's
absolutely. So this couldn't have gone any better. And thank you so much.
No, thank you. This is great. It's going to reach all of America, all the world. But if you're on Route 66 near Oklahoma City, make sure you stop by.
Go check him out.
We are Dave Portnoy ready, just so you know.
Oh yeah. We want that 10. The 10 in Oklahoma.
Yes, we are Dave Portnoy ready. Hopefully he's watching today.
There you go. Hey, hang tight.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Pizza King Podcast with Tyrell Reed. If you enjoyed today's discussion, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Your feedback means the world to me. Got a topic you love to cover or a question that you want answered? Shoot me an email at info@tyrellreed.com or reach out to me on Instagram at Pizza King Podcast. I love hearing from all of the listeners.